evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, June 4th, 2020. A South Sudan's senior military officer involved in a land dispute dies from injuries sustained during Wednesday's clashes outside Juba town. And a group of civil society activists are criticizing South Sudan's task force on COVID-19.
You realize that the high-level task force was politicians. We had the presidency and the ministers, which, okay, to give political leadership, but we were still looking for a technical team that comprises of medical practitioners.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's military spokesperson says the senior officer involved in a land dispute in Juba's Shirikat neighborhood died last night from head and neck injuries sustained during Wednesday's clashes. The spokesperson of South Sudan National Police Service, Major General Daniel Justin, says another officer was killed in the area last night and describes the situation in Shirikat as tensed. Wednesday's shootout was sparked by a land dispute involving Lual Okok Wol Kir and some residents of Shirikat who accused Kir of allegedly trying to grab their land. Shirikat is located in Rajaf County of Central Equatorial State. According to South Sudan's constitution, the land belongs to the community. Most of the population of Shirikat are squatters. A group of civil society activists say South Sudan's National Task Force on COVID-19 has no technical expertise on health matters. The group says lack of motivation from the government is making it difficult for health workers to control the spread of the pandemic. Lone America J, a member of the group, says any national task force should include scientists and technocrats. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
In an open letter addressed to President Salva Kiir this week, the Citizens Task Force says it is disturbed by the rising number of COVID-19 cases in South Sudan. It charges the government's handling of the pandemic has been ineffective, noting the public health laboratory has a backlog of thousands of untested coronavirus samples. Lona America J is the group's coordinator.
The pandemic is a public health situation, and it's a situation that requires specific expertise. You realize that the high-level task force was politicians. We had the presidency and the ministers, which, okay, to give political leadership, but we were still looking for a technical team that comprises of medical practitioners, specifically public health practitioners. We expected epidemiologists, we expected clinicians, because this is a situation that requires their effort.
America J says the latest National COVID-19 Task Force appointed by President Salva Kiir still draws most of its members from various ministry undersecretaries who lack health expertise. She says the current situation of the COVID-19 pandemic in South Sudan is out of control.
We are really alarmed. We are very scared, and the situation is getting worse. One of the things that prompted us to write the letter is a statement made by the Minister of Health. And the Minister of Health categorically said that they are in control. They are not in control.
As of Monday, South Sudan recorded 1,317 COVID-19 positive cases, 14 deaths and 6 recoveries. America J says to sustain the limited efforts to prevent the spread of the COVID-19, health workers should be motivated and given better incentives as they sacrifice their lives and risk their families taking care of patients suffering from the pandemic.
The situation is not good, because the health workers in this situation of the pandemic are the frontline fighters, and you need to equip them. They have been complaining, and it's alarming, because if they are not taken care of, they will get infected. And if they get infected, then we lose them. And if we lose them, then the health sector crashes. And when the health sector of a country has crashed, then that country is vulnerable.
Dr. Richard Lacour, incident manager at the Public Health Laboratory, says technical problems and a lack of capacity hampers efforts to conduct COVID-19 tests.
We can't run 1,000 of samples a day.
Merekaje says health workers should be paid incentives. When they are able to provide for their families, she says they will be motivated to work hard to save the lives of COVID-19 patients. As it is, Merekaje says the lab is releasing results of tests after people have died, exposing more people to infection.
I'm saying that because of the capacity. They don't have the capacity to run the tests as fast as expected. And it's unfortunate that some of the results are being declared after the persons have already died. That is not healthy.
The group's letter to President Kiir also recommends the government enforce crowd management protocols in local markets and social gatherings. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
The South Sudan Doctors Union is expressing concern about an alleged ongoing internal wrangles at the National Ministry of Health. The acting chairman of the union says the wrangles between the ministry's undersecretary and other senior officials is affecting the fight against COVID-19. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Dr. Anthony Grang, acting chairman of the South Sudan Doctors Union, says the Health Ministry legal advisor, Kwad Jock Alith, has written to the minister urging that punitive measures be taken against Undersecretary Matur.
What we are seeing outside is just things are not moving. There is leadership crisis in the ministry. So we are really concerned because this time is not supposed to be the time for such issues to be arising at the ministry.
Dr. Matur is accused of taking over $30,000 from the ministry's cashier without signing the required documents, according to Alith, who advised Health Minister Elizabeth Achuey to suspend Matur and form a committee to investigate the matter in April 9th later. Matur denies taking the money without signing for it. A week ago, ministry spokesman Dr. Thuol Loy wrote an email to Undersecretary Matur, which circulated widely on the internet, accusing Dr. Matur of conspiring against other ministry staff. The email also accused Matur of trying to fire former COVID-19 incident manager Dr. Angu Gordon Kwal. A few days later, Kwal was sacked. Dr. Loy says he wrote a personal letter to Undersecretary Matur asking him to allow the health ministry to work as a team in the fight against the coronavirus pandemic.
We all need to fight the COVID-19. The Minister of Health need to be one team. All the actors need to come on board. It has to be a teamwork for us to defeat COVID-19. Nobody can do it alone. And maybe that's what I meant in my letter. We need to be one team to fight COVID-19.
Undersecretary Matur insists the health ministry is ably leading the fight against COVID-19 despite some internal wrangling.
It's functioning. It's an institution of the government functioning alongside other government institutions to ensure that we address the issues of COVID-19. The ministry is working. One rubble here and there will never stop work of the ministry.
Ask if he is conspiring against other health ministry staff, including Dr. Angu Gordon Kwal. Matur had this to say.
Angu is my junior staff, and there's nothing like I can conspire against any junior staff because I still have authority to discipline those junior staff. If they are in discipline, I do have authority to transfer staff from one department to another. So where does the conspiracy come in here?
Former incident manager Dr. Angu Gordon Kwal, who was recently transferred back to his previous position at the health ministry as director of the Public Health Institute, says he is committed to following the decisions of his supervisors.
When there is somebody in here or above you in rank, we respect their decisions. Even if they are not good for us, and I stand for that, and that's what we need to learn as South Sudanese. We should not be taking things as personal.
Dr. Grang says while the health ministry struggles with the leadership issues, its work has been affected.
There is a delay in the results being announced, and this is the work of the incident manager. Perhaps the change of the leadership in the emergency operations center might have also impacted, you know, the results. And you have seen also there are issues of inadequate staff.
Dr. Garang says rather than internal bickering, ministry officials should be focused on paying the salaries of COVID-19 frontline workers and on preventing community transmission of the virus. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayar in Juba.
Still on COVID-19, some frontline health workers who are treating, diagnosing or tracing COVID-19 cases say they are facing stigma from the public. The Undersecretary in the Ministry of Health admits people are discriminating against health workers. For VOA News, Ding Magot reports from Juba.
A health worker who agreed to have her voice recorded but wishes to remain anonymous because of the stigma attached to COVID-19 says some soldiers who were contacts of a COVID-19 patient harassed and beat her and a colleague last week in Juba's Atlabara area. She says she called some Atlabara residents on Saturday to inform them they were in contact with a COVID-19 patient and cancel them before their samples would be taken for testing. After educating the four people, she says she realized she had been talking to soldiers, who she says then confronted her, demanding to know where she got their phone numbers, even though one soldier directed her to the Atlabara residence. She says she and her workmates tried to defend themselves and there was a confrontation.
So we called our supervisor and he sent us a doctor who's working with Minister of Health. So, and again, they start abusing that guy after abusing us, like we are there to kill them, and we are not a doctor, and all this issue of corona is just people are lying to each other. There's no corona, there's no what. So all this, and actually it was about 3 hours for us, because actually they want to kill us with a gun.
She says the soldiers only stopped beating her and her colleagues when one of their superiors arrived on the scene.
They are beating, they are abusing the doctor from Ministry of Health. So they came and even they chased him away because they were having someone who above him. So they called that person to come also. Mm-hmm. And when I was telling the one who responsible for those group, like there is a guy who directs us to the place from the main road, and there is another case there. He want to fight with me. So after I was defending myself, they came and they start beating me.
The health worker says she is only doing her job and wants the public to understand the role of health workers in the fight against the pandemic.
Yes, I want them to understand this role of us. Like, whatever we are doing, some people right now, they're telling us that we are a thief, okay? We are just, this issue of COVID-19 is just a business that we are doing. Why should we do a business in these things? It's very bad even to tell someone that you are COVID, you are positive. So why should we do this? We have a family also. Some of us, maybe you will find your family then is there.
Dr. Abdul Sebushishe, the technical lead for International Medical Corps, an organization that supports the South Sudan government in managing the isolation center for COVID-19 patients, says some of his staff have been stigmatized for working at the Dr. John Garang Infectious Diseases Unit.
There have been some unfortunate events for some of our staff where they are living. When the landlord learned that they are working in the infectious disease unit, the landlord asked them to leave because he think they are more at risk of bringing the disease to the community.
Dr. Sebushishe is urging South Sudanese to support health workers, whether they are working in a COVID-19 facility or providing routine health care services. Health Ministry Undersecretary Dr. Makur Matur Koryom says people should not stigmatize health workers, noting that anyone can contract the virus if they do not observe preventive measures.
They ought to understand understand COVID-19. It's not like HIV. The reason the stigma with HIV is understandable, because HIV is associated with a moral aspect of our lifestyle. But in the case of COVID-19, it is a respiratory disease. It's a nuzzler, just like all other nuzzlers. What makes it different is because it's infecting the whole world at a very large scale, and that is killing people.
Both Dr. Makur and Dr. Tsebushishe say, rather than stigmatizing health workers, the public should be praising them for working to contain the spread of the coronavirus. For VOA News, I am Dingma Gott in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese Americans are working to fight COVID-19 in Sudan. Find out how after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
why do you think more young people are turning away from farming?
You know, for you to farm, to be a farmer, you have to wait. I'm waiting, and you know, these guys, they don't want to wait. They want the money now. They don't want you to, maybe you plant your corn or maize or yam, and you have to wait till, you know, probably like how many months before it germinates and before you can even harvest.
Maybe because they feel or they view farming to be an old occupation or vocation that are mostly for the villagers. But then I feel farming is one that, you know, you can generate money from.
In most cases, young people in Africa think white collar jobs are the most earning, but in the real sense, it's the reverse.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The Sudanese American Physicians Association have signed a memorandum of understanding with Sudanese Health Ministry to support doctors fighting the coronavirus in Sudan. The group says it hopes the agreement will allow them to ensure the safety of medical workers by providing separate housing during the corona pandemic. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
Muhammad Yahya al-Farisi, Secretary General of the U.S.-based Sudanese American Physicians Association, says his group formed a COVID-19 task force to help fighting the pandemic back home. Farisi says the MOU will help protect doctors and nurses who are on the front lines of fighting COVID-19 in Sudan.
It allowed SAPA to provide financial support to rent a facility with 50 rooms and 100 beds for 1 month renewable. In SAPA, we believe that this effort will provide safety for the medical staff, their families, and will help the medical staff maintain health services provided at the isolation center.
Farisi says the association is also helping by supplying doctors in Sudan with face masks, gloves, protective gowns, and other protective gear that is in short supply.
The health system in Sudan is very fragile and wasn't a priority for the previous regime for 30 years. In general, the health systems all over the world are struggling with the fight against COVID-19. This is more obvious in developing countries and countries with very fragmented healthcare systems.
Sudan has reported 5,500 coronavirus infections and more than 300 deaths, making it one of the worst affected countries in the region. Farisi says this situation is caused by underlying cultural and economic factors.
One of the major factors was the difficulty to achieve effective social distancing and lockdown in Sudan, which is crucial to contain such pandemic with the Sudanese culture background and economic status.
Farisi says his group is educating Sudanese on the importance of social distancing, as well as providing financial support to family members who must stay home.
And as a social distancing recognized as the most effective measure to decrease the disease spread within the community, SAPA supported more than 3,000 families with their essential food supplies for 3 weeks during the stay-home order instituted by the Sudan government.
Farisi says in the United States, his group has provided a toll-free phone number to answer questions from the Sudanese diaspora on COVID-19. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
Still on Sudan, families of peaceful protesters who were killed during the crackdown on a sit-in near the military headquarters in Khartoum a year ago have given a one-week ultimatum to Sudan's Attorney General and Chief Justice to establish a special court to prosecute those involved in the killings. Some of their family members say they have waited for a whole year without justice. They are threatening to seek help from an international court if the perpetrators are not held accountable. For VOA News, Michael Atil reports from Khartoum.
Sudanese commemorated the June 3rd crackdown yesterday in various ways, including standing along Khartoum roadsides, waving banners demanding justice, and burning tires along main roads. Others took part in peaceful marches while observing social distancing. The Sudanese Martyrs Organization, a body composed of people whose loved ones were killed during and after the revolution, held a news conference last night in Khartoum, where members urged Chief Justice Naimat Abdullah Muhammad Khair and Attorney General Tajasir Al-Hibir to form a special tribunal within the next week for trying those accused of committing atrocities during the revolution. Speaking in Arabic, Sadia Sev, who lost her brother during the June 3rd incident, says the families have waited a long time for justice.
We have been so much supportive to our judiciary for the last 1 year, and we have been silent on our wounds and pains, so that we are able to maintain our theme of peaceful revolution, and we shall continue to do so. But then, yet we do not see any commitment from our leaders to achieving real justice.
Human Rights Watch also urged the government to deliver justice to the victims and families without further delay. If the government fails to meet their demands, SEV says the group may seek international support to their case.
If we have not seen any positive response to our lawful demand of all families of the victims, within the time frame, we will be forced to seek assistance from the International Criminal Court.
Kisha Abdusalam Kisha, whose son Abdusalam Kisha was killed during the June 3rd crackdown, is the Secretary General for the Sudanese Martyrs Organization. Speaking in Arabic, Kisha says the crimes are so clear that the Sudanese judiciary does not need more time to investigate the matter.
The Sudanese judiciary is not updated on crimes that involve human rights violation. They don't have commitment even to prosecute members of the previous regime. How can we expect such an institution to achieve justice for us?
On state-owned television yesterday, Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok vowed to prosecute anyone found guilty involved in the killing of protesters. He says the government is waiting for the final recommendation from the investigation committee to proceed.
I stand before you today as the head of executive authority, which came as a result of your sacrifice, that the Sudanese blood is one and is so expensive. So there is a need to disclose the real criminals behind the crackdown tragedy and bring them to justice.
Human Rights Watch says the crackdown was planned and ordered by the highest responsible authority in Sudan. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Europeans have been taking to the streets in solidarity with those protesting the issue of violence by police against black people in the United States. Like the U.S., European nations had cases of minorities dying at the hands of white police officers, but those have rarely resulted into mass demonstrations. For VOA News, Marta Vandehoff reports from Amsterdam that could be changing.
About 5,000 demonstrators came together in Amsterdam this week in solidarity with the demonstrations following the death of George Floyd. The crowd was diverse and many people were holding signs with slogans such as Black Lives Matter and I Can't Breathe. Joukje Boder is a demonstrator who has taken part in anti-racism protests in Amsterdam before. Boder, who is white, says it's important for everyone to participate in these kinds of protests to combat racism in societies everywhere.
Well, the problem with European racism is that it's more invisible and more institutionalized than in America, where maybe it's more explicit. And I think in Europe it's more subtle in, I don't know, small ways, so I think it's harder to make people aware of that it's as big of a problem in Europe than it is in America, or as it is in America.
More demonstrations are planned in the Netherlands and in many other European cities in coming days. A protest that was to happen in Paris Tuesday evening was banned, but tens of thousands of people still took to the streets. The French protest was also in memory of Adama Traoré, a young black Frenchman who died in police custody in 2016. The officers involved in Traoré's death were recently exonerated, as initial medical reports had stated he died of heart failure, a claim contested by two other medical investigations. Karen Taylor, chair of the Brussels-based European Network Against Racism, ENAR, says discussing the topic of racism in Europe is difficult, but she sees the US protests as having a positive effect on our efforts.
We see that people are trying to build the link between what is happening in the US and to shed light on what is happening here in Europe. And I think that's exactly where white allies can join in the fight. And of course, whenever they post something in solidarity with which is happening in the US to remind people about what is going on in Europe, and that it's not all about the US context.
Incidents in the United States grab the headlines when it comes to issues of racial inequality and police violence against minorities, but it is clear Europe has its own problems. Protests erupted in Britain in 2011 after police shot Mark Duggan, a 29-year-old British-born man of African-Caribbean descent. But a police investigation ruled the killing by police was lawful, and a high court agreed with the rationale the officer acted in self-defense. Protesters in London this week held up signs with the names of many other black British people who died in police incidents. A Dutch monitoring group on racial profiling, Control Alt Delete, says 41 people died when in contact with Dutch police since 2016, and that not one officer was called into court. The French collective Urgence Notre Police Assassine states that of the 103 people killed by police between 2005 and 2015, 95% were of black or Arab descent. Both ENAR and Amnesty International say many European countries lack independent oversight mechanisms to investigate allegations of police brutality. Amnesty's Marco Perolini says Europe has serious human rights issues when it comes to racial discrimination and policing.
So one of them is racial profiling, so the fact that ethnic minorities are stopped and searched by the police more often than white people. This is a human rights issue at the regional level in Europe and in all European countries. A second one is the fact that, there are still a lot of instances where police use force unlawfully. And then a third issue that is particularly problematic is the fact that we have noticed and observed a lack of accountability for allegations of excessive use of force, unlawful use of force by police.
An upcoming report from Amnesty International looks at how police disproportionately targeted ethnic communities in 12 European countries during the coronavirus lockdown. Marta van der Wolf for VOA News, Amsterdam.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Shane Shane by Emmanuel Kembe.
The voice of the innocent blood cries out in heart-rending insistence in the heart of the person who killed. If you want peace, work for justice. And for the heads of the states and political leaders must not sacrifice the lives of their fellow citizens. Shame, shame. This song tells about the actual war situation in South Sudan.
Shame, shame, shame. Shame, shame, mama.
We've been listening to Emmanuel Kembe with the song Shen Shen. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there is no cure for the coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Mm-hmm.